Om Agyantimidandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshuru Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yutha Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajataham Sahagana Raghunathan Bitham Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padahan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Bitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. A few minutes ago, the full moon has arisen. Just over 5 centuries back, the same full moon in the month of Palgun upon its rising Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took his birth in this world and since that time the devotees of the Gaudiya Parampara have celebrated this particular day as the most holy of all holy days. Janmashtami is the most holy of all holy days. Radhashtami is the most holy of all holy days. Janmashtami is the day of Krishna's birth. Radhashtami is the day of Sri Radha's birth. Gaur Purnima is the day when both Radha and Krishna take birth in one form. Therefore, it is the most holy of all holy days. It is Radhashtami and Janmashtami in one concentrated form. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has been prophesized, or let us say, he has been noted in various of the Vedic scriptures, the Mahabharata, the Srimad Bhagavatam, Upanishads. Karabhajana Rishi, in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, he describes the various Yuga avatars. In Satyayuga, the the Supreme Lord comes in a white form for the purpose of spreading the Yuga Dharma, establishing it, meditation. In Treta Yuga, the Lord comes in a red form to establish the Yuga Dharma of that age, which is the performing of yajna. In Dwapara Yuga, he appears in a blackish form to establish the Yuga Dharma of worship of him. And in Kali Yuga, he appears in a form that is not blackish. He appears in a golden form for the purpose of establishing the Yuga Dharma of the congregational chanting of the holy name. Krishna Varnam Tvisakrishnam Sangopanga Shaparashadam Sankirtana Yagyai Sankirtana Prayai Yajanti Hi Sumedisha. In this age of Kali, those who have good intelligence, they worship this form of the Lord through the congregational chanting of the holy names. It does not specifically say golden in that particular passage, but he describes white, red, black. And he describes in Kali Yuga the merciful form of the Lord. When Garga Rishi performed the name-giving ceremony of Krishna and Balaram in the Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto, he describes how the Lord takes a white form, a red form, and a golden form, and now he has taken a blackish form as Krishna. So the acharyas and the saints, analyzing and studying with great deep realizations, have concluded that this golden form that is predicted in the scriptures is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami tells the three external and three internal reasons in which the Lord comes. The external reasons: to establish the Yuga Dharma of the congregational chanting, Nam Kirtan. To fulfill his words in Bhagavad Gita, Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyuta nama dharmasya tadatmanam shujamyaham. That he would appear in each and every age to reestablish true religious principles. And especially to fulfill the prayers of Sri Advaita, the senior most leader of the devotee community of the time. The three internal reasons are described also in Chaitanya Charitamrita. That Krishna, the original source of all incarnations, Swayam Bhagavan, appears in this age of Kali. To understand the glory of Srimati Radharani's love, the wonderful qualities in himself that she alone relishes through her love, and the happiness she realizes, the happiness she experiences when she realizes the sweetness of his love. Endowed with the Supreme Lord Hari, endowed with the emotions of Srimati Radharani, has appeared from the womb of Sachi Devi as the moon appears from the ocean. This is very instructive. What does it mean as the moon appears from the ocean? If we're on the shore of the ocean, looking in the eastern direction, the moon appears to be born from the ocean. It's not seen, and then it appears from the ocean. But actually, the moon is appearing from the ocean, from our vision. But the moon is existing always. The moon is not dependent upon the ocean to appear. It's just coming to our vision from the ocean. And in the similar way, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has no mother and has no father. But for the purpose of facilitating intimate loving exchanges, the Lord accepts a mother and accepts a father. Aham bija pratapita. Krishna tells, I am the father of all living beings. Sri Radha is the mother of all living beings. Now for those of you who are parents, you know the joy of having a child, at least until they're teenagers. Then there's still joy, but it's some extra struggles. But a good parent, how they love their children. They'll do anything for their child. The greatest joy of their life is the happiness of a child. It's the nature of a father. So happy. But then again, there's great joy in a child's love for parent. So why should God be deprived of that? Why should he only be father and mother? Why can't he have parents to love? Essentially, every type of love that exists has its origin in God's love. Krishna, he's the original lover. He's the original father. He's the original child who loves a father and mother. He's the original friend. It's like a father and mother, their life isn't complete unless they love each other too. That's lovers. And their life is not complete unless they have friends. If it's only your child, it's not a full life. These are all very, very special, important, sacred relationships in this world. Loving your parents, loving your children, loving your friends, loving your lover. The origin of all of them is in Krishna. The path of bhakti goes deep into the rasa, into the sweetness of the ecstasies of the love of Krishna's relations with his devotees. So Krishna is the father of all living beings, the source of everything that exists. He has no mother, but he accepts a mother. And he appears in this world not as an ordinary child, but like an ordinary child. Sachimata and Jagannath Mishra are the same divine personalities who have given birth to the child in various incarnations. They were Prishni and gave birth to Vishnu, Lord Vishnu, in the form of Prishni Garbha. They were Kardama Muni and Devahuti gave birth to Kapila. Atrimuni and Anasuya to give birth to Dattatreya. Kausalya and Dasarath, they gave birth to Ram. Devaki and Vasudev, and then again Yashoda and Nanda to give birth and lovingly care as parents for Krishna. In this song by Vasu Ghosh, he's declaring that that same Lord has come again as the son of Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi. Bhaktya mam abhijanati. Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita that only through pure love can I be known as I am. The Srimad Bhagavatam is especially the crest jewel of all Vedic literatures because it exclusively focuses on the path of pure unalloyed love. Savai pung sang puro dharamo yato bhaktirat hokshajai ahoyitakya pratihataya yatma supraseedati. The supreme dharma for all living beings is that which awakens love for God, loving service. Such loving service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to truly satisfy the self, because that is our eternal nature. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the very embodiment of Srimad Bhagavatam. He's the personification of this teachings. In the spiritual world, Krishna, he's forever feeling himself obliged and even subordinate to the love of his devotees. He's humbled by the surrender of the devotees. He gives himself completely. He told the gopis, I cannot repay your love even an entire lifetime of Brahma. That's about 311 trillion years. Even with all that I have, just be satisfied with your love. The source, the origin of all love in all spiritual and material worlds is the love of Radha for Krishna. Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikratir Ladini Shakti Ratman. That the Supreme Absolute Truth is one. There's one God for all religions, for all living beings, in all universes, in all existence. Nam Namakari Bahu Nijasarava Shaktis. That one God, the Absolute Truth, has many names and has appeared in many forms. But that one Supreme Truth is eternally two. The Shakti and the Shaktiman. Krishna is the Supreme Shaktiman. The origin and source of all energy. And Sri Radha is the supreme energy, the Ladini Shakti, the energy of love. Radha is the Ashray Vigraha. She's the abode of all love. Krishna's Vishay Vigraha. He's the object of all love. That love between Sri Radha and Krishna is the sum total of all love. And it's expanded and extended everywhere. Mamaivam so jivaloki jivabhuta sanatana. Every living being is part and parcel of Krishna. And an infinitesimal particle of Radha's love is within the inherent nature of every living being, the soul. And that infinitesimal expansion of Sri Radha's love that's in any of our souls is so powerful that it can conquer Krishna. Krishna's obliged to the love of any of his devotees. Unimaginable. If our potential to love is so infinite, so incredible, it's the ultimate satisfaction to us and leaves Krishna obliged when it is awakened fully. What is Sri Radha's love? The source and sum total of all love. When Krishna witnesses Sri Radha, the happiness she feels in her love and the way she experiences the wonderful qualities in him, he can't even understand. Who am I that Radharani gets so much? I know everything. Vedaham samatitani varatamanani chajuna. Krishna tells in Gita, I know all that's happened in the past, all that's happening in the present, all things that are yet to come. But there's one thing he wants to know. What is the glory of Radha's love? What are the wonderful qualities in me that she alone relishes in her love? And what is the happiness she feels when she tastes the sweetness of my love? So Krishna appears with the Mahabhav, with the supreme love of Sri Radha in his heart, to taste the sweetness of his love. That is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There's a Yuga avatar in the age of Kali, in every Kali Yuga, who establishes the Harinam Sankirtan movement as the Yuga Dharma. But only once in a day of Brahma, which is over 8 billion years, only once in a day of Brahma, does Krishna personally appear with the mood of Sri Radha. And through the Sankirtan movement, to share her love with the world. Paramakaruna pahundui jana nitai gaurachandra. The Supreme Lord Sri Chaitanya and Nityananda are supremely karuna, compassionate. Because they are giving through the easiest way the highest revelations of entrance into Vrindavan Dham. That is Lord Chaitanya. Before Lord Chaitanya personally advented in this world, he sent many of his eternal loving associates to prepare the way for him. He sent Madhavendra Puri, Ishwara Puri, Advaitacharya, Jagannath Mishra, Sachi Devi, Murari Gupta, so many. Upendra Mishra, in Krishna's Leela, was Parjanya, the grandfather of Lord Krishna. He appeared in Sylhet, which is now Bangladesh. He had 7 sons. The 5th of those 7 sons was Jagannath, Jagannath Mishra came to Navadvip to study under a great scholar of the name Nilambar Chakravarti. And by divine arrangement, he married Nilambar Chakravarti's daughter, Sachi Devi, and thus settled in Navadvip. The two of them had 8 daughters. Each and every one died just after birth. Heartbroken, they worshiped the Supreme Lord for a child. They understood it's not within their powers. Actually, it's not within anybody's powers. There's higher powers beyond our own that we're all dependent on. Things may happen according to the laws of karma, but karma is a law that it was created by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So directly or indirectly, everything is controlled by the supreme power of God. So they worshipped. They had a beautiful baby boy who happened to be an expansion of Shankarshan, Balaram, Nityananda, who they named Vishwarup. In the month of Magh, January of 1485, something wonderful happened. The spiritual world appeared within the heart of Jagannath Mishra. And he personally witnessed how the spiritual world emerged from his heart and entered in the heart of his good wife, Sachi Devi. Just after that, she became pregnant. There was no other process. It was a divine revelation. The child was in her womb, and Sachi Mata, the whole time he was there, she was in transcendental ecstasy. She could see and hear celestial beings offering prayers to the child within her womb. And Jagannath Mishra, he would go out and people would be bowing down to him and giving him all gifts. And he didn't understand why. 13 months passed and still the child wasn't born. Jagannath Mishra was becoming very, very worried. When you and your wife have 8 miscarriages consecutively, your heart is very vulnerable to what can go wrong. 13 months passed, and there was no sign of the child being born. Jagannath Mishra went to Nilambar Chakravarti, his father-in-law, who was one of the greatest astrologers of the day, said, "Please tell me what's happening." Nilambar Chakravarti did careful analysis of the horoscopes and the astrological considerations. And he said, "This is a divine child. He is waiting for the most auspicious of all possible moments before he comes out." Soon after that, during the full moon night in the month of Palgun, the year 1986, historically one of the most auspicious configurations within the solar system and within the stars ever to be seen. And it also happened to be a lunar eclipse. In those days, especially in Bengal, during a lunar eclipse, it was the custom for all Hindus to go to the holy rivers, especially Mother Ganga, and loudly chant the holy names. Even people who were not religious, even people who had very materialistic conceptions of worship, during a lunar eclipse, they all followed this custom. So literally, thousands upon thousands, hundreds and thousands of people were in the Ganges at that time during the eclipse, loudly chanting the names of Krishna.
Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna Krishna! Hare Hare! Hare Ram! Hare Ram! Ram Ram! Hare Hare!
And even Muslim people, they saw all these Hindus chanting Krishna, Krishna, Hari, Hari. And they were very affected by that. Some out of appreciation, some out of jest. They were all chanting Hari, Hari and Krishna, Krishna. Everyone was chanting. It was at that moment that Sri Chaitanya appeared from the womb of Sachi Devi. We were speaking about Advaitacharya. Previous to the birth of Lord Chaitanya, he was seeing what was happening to the world. People were becoming so arrogant, so selfish, so materialistic, even in the name of religion. And even pundits of scriptures, they were doing it more for a profession than self-realization. They were oftentimes doing it more for themselves than others. Compassion, true compassion for the body, the mind, and the soul was becoming so rare. He saw so much fighting, so much hypocrisy. And loving devotional service to Krishna, which is the essence and the goal of all the Vedas, was practically nowhere to be seen. It grieved his heart. Sri Advaitacharya, he was the leader of the Vaishnava community. He had a house in Navadvip and a house in Shantipur. He would speak from the scriptures. Whatever scripture he spoke from, he only saw Krishna. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells, for one who sees me everywhere and everything in me, for that person I'm never lost, nor are they ever lost to me. So Advaitacharya was seeing Krishna everywhere. He was seeing Krishna in everyone's heart. He spoke from Bhagavad Gita. He spoke from Srimad Bhagavatam. And even scriptures like the Yoga Vasishta, which is usually not considered a devotional scripture, he would speak from that. And every word and every line, he would explain eloquently how it's all leading to unmotivated, uninterrupted, ecstatic love for Krishna. And the devotees of the Lord, they were a tiny minority at the time, but they just loved to hear explanations of Sri Advaita. Hari Katha and Hari Kirtan throughout the day. They were so happy with each other, but that did not satisfy Advaitacharya, because he was seeing if anybody is devoid of this sweet ecstasy of love, it pained his heart. He was crying. He was crying for you, for me, for all of us. So he made a promise that I will bring Krishna down into this world. From Goloka Vrindavan, I will bring him. Because the state of the world in Kali Yuga, only Krishna himself can establish pure devotional service. The pure devotional service of the Brijavasis. He would fast on the bank of the Ganges with Ganga water and tulsi leaves. He would worship for this one single purpose of bringing Krishna to the world. He was crying constantly, and with loud calls he was crying Krishna to come. Krishna, who's in the heart of every living being and also in the spiritual world, could hear those cries of Advaita. And to fulfill his desire, he descended. When everyone was chanting Srivas Thakur, he said to his associates, great devotee, usually we're the only ones chanting, now everyone's chanting because of this eclipse. Most people think eclipses are inauspicious. So to counteract the inauspiciousness, they loudly chant Krishna's names and stay in the Ganges. Srivas, he prayed with a blissful smile that this eclipse will last forever. Because it's bringing so much devotion from people. When Lord Chaitanya appeared from the heart of Haridas Thakur and Advaitacharya, who were together, they were dancing and dancing. Thakur Haridas was chanting 300,000 names a day with the prayer that Krishna would have come to deliver the people of this Kali Yuga. Srivas Thakur and his brothers were having kirtan throughout the day, sometimes the night, with the prayer that Krishna would come to deliver the people of the Kali Yuga. It was the love, it was the compassion of these great devotees that brought the Lord to bestow his kindness upon all of us. He was given the name Nimai by his mother because he was born under a neem tree. He was given the name Gauranga by his father because he had beautiful golden limbs. He was given the name Vishwambar by Nilambar Chakravarti Thakur, his grandfather, because through his astrological calculations he could tell that he will nourish the entire universe with his mercy. And the young ladies of Navadvip named him Gaurhari because he looked as beautiful as Gopal Hari with a golden complexion. And the first thing he did when he was a little child to establish his mission, he was an infant baby, hardly a day old. He would cry. And because everyone loved him so much, just his glance would enchant, devote everyone's hearts. He was so beautiful. Spontaneously, the people loved him, even more than their own children. This is quite unimaginable. Parikshit Maharaj was even astounded when he heard Sukadev Goswami tell that in Vrindavan, all the elder gopis, they love Krishna more than their own children. This is almost impossible. If your child's naughty and doesn't get very good grades, And your neighbor's child is the same age, and he's very well behaved, and he gets very good grades. Do you love that child more than your own? What to speak if your child becomes a brahmachari? And your neighbor's child gets married and has a good income and has grandchildren for you. Do you love them more than your own child? Doesn't happen that way. It's human nature. You love your own children. But in Vrindavan, everyone loved Krishna more. It's not that they love their own children less. They just love Krishna more. And Parikshit Maharaj asked Sukadeva Goswami, this is not human nature. This is impossible. And Sukadeva Goswami explained, because the only reason you love anyone is because they're a soul. When the soul leaves the body, there's just a dead corpse. There's not much love for the dead corpse. Whatever affection there is for the corpse only is because the soul used to be there, because you're remembering the soul in that corpse. But the life force that's actually who we love is the Atma, the soul. The body's a machine. And Krishna's the Paramatma, the supreme soul. He's in everyone's heart. He's personally in everyone's heart, and simultaneously, a part and parcel of him is in everyone's heart. And that's who we love. So when that supreme source of Paramatma, Gopal, Krishna, is living with us, we naturally love him more than anything and everyone. He's the cause of all love. And that same experience, the relatives and friends of Sachimata and Jagannath Misha had, just upon seeing Nimai, just upon feeling his love for them, just upon experiencing his beauty. It's a kind of beauty that we don't know in this world, because in this world we may be attracted to beauty with our senses. But then we may be attracted to some other beauty with our senses. It's very limited, and it's very temporary. The beauty of anyone in this world is not going to last very long physically. And it's very small. It may seem big to us, but it's very small. But Krishna is the supreme sum total of all beauty, the source of all beauty, the ultimate beauty that's forever. Not only forever, but forever increasing. The absolute truth is not stagnant. The conception of Brahman realization, where we just exist in a supreme being, is certainly incredibly blissful, especially when we compare it to this material world where dukkhalayam ashashvatam, everything's temporary and everything's dying and fading and betraying us in due course of time. But Krishna's Navayovanam, his beauty is ever increasing. His sweetness, his love is ever increasing. And when we become attracted to Krishna, our love for him is ever increasing. So that supreme cause of all causes is a newborn infant little baby who appears totally helpless. and he looks at people. And incredible. Can you imagine God looking up at you as a like a little baby, totally helpless, almost dependent upon you? What will that do to your heart? That's what Nimai did to their hearts. They loved him. And they were completely inundated by this infant little baby's love for them. Like exactly what Krishna did in Vrindavan. The Nandotsava. They had such a beautiful celebration. The morning after Krishna was born at midnight in Gokul, Mahavan. And similarly tomorrow, there's the celebration of Jagannath Mishra Utsav, which is none different than Nandotsav. But there's a difference. But there's no difference. One of the differences is Vrishabhanu and Kirtida had their Utsav when Radharani appeared. Jagannath Mishra Utsav is Radhastami, Janmastami in one. So this little baby is captivating, not just their minds, not just their senses, not just their hearts, but their souls. This is the secret of what we're speaking about. When they felt Lord Chaitanya's, little Nimai's love, it awakened the eternal natural love of their souls. Just by looking at this little baby and desiring to please this little baby, they attain the ultimate perfection of yoga, the essence of all religions. Their prem awakened from within. In that prem, we want to please the Lord. Their highest aspiration in life was simply to make this little baby happy. We see in the world today, there's Bollywood stars and Hollywood stars, and there's rock stars, and there's politicians, and there's world champion players of cricket and football and baseball and basketball and swimming and all these things. And then there's military generals who are great, you know, heroic fighters for the nation. And we respect them and we honor them to some extent. But all of that multiplied by limitless trillions. And that was what people were seeing in this little infant baby that was born the day before, Nimai. Every propensity that one could have to feel happiness from another person, to love a person, to respect a person, to want another person to be happy, awakens when we become attracted to the Supreme Bhagavan. He smiled. The little baby would look in their direction and smile. Their soul smiled. Nothing could be happier. Then the next minute, his face would have a painful look on it, then cried. And oh, how he cried. When God wants to cry, he really cries. Not in a horrible way. You know, Narasingadev. He was roaring and it was kind of a cry. but it was very fearful. But little Nimai's cry was such a helpless, vulnerable little baby's cry that mixed with his love and their love, it totally melted their hearts. It put them in such agony, they just couldn't accommodate that this child is not happy. They would do anything. They would give up everything they had. They would give up their lives just to make him happy. But he kept crying. So usually when babies cry, it's oftentimes during Srimad Bhagavatam class. And the mother, wherever she's sitting, she just does everything she can. She starts putting things in his little mouth and stuffing rubber stuff in his mouth. And if he's content with the rubber, she just stays in class and she smiles. And everybody kind of looks like, he better not do that again. She said, no, no, he's happy. He has rubber in his mouth. Or else they swing him, they go back and forth, could you stop crying? Or sometimes they have little toys or they make little noises in their ears, they start becoming little like sounds of birds or rhymes. So there's so many ways to try to make a child stop crying. You give milk, yes. Sometimes milk from the mother's body, sometimes milk from a little bottle, whatever it may be. Because the mother loves the child, doesn't want to see the child cry. Even if the mother runs out of the Bhagavatam class, still, we can hear from outside too. But she loves the child. And everybody, even if we don't like the crying sound, somewhere in our heart, we're really feeling compassion for that little child. So all the neighboring ladies who were assembled in Jagannath Misha and Sachi Devi's house, when little Nimai would grimace his face and cry, they would do anything for him. They were rocking him, and they were giving him little things to play with, and they were putting things in his mouth. But he wouldn't stop crying. Whatever they gave him, he just cried louder. They'd give him something else, he'd cry louder. And when they were in a completely helpless state, like the eclipse, they just cried out, Hari, Hari!
Hari, Hari!
And Nimai smiled. Oh, that smile was the everything for everyone. So they knew the secret. This child loves the names of Krishna. So they would gather around Nimai's little bed, just waiting for him to cry. Because after he cried, when they chanted, he was so happy. So as soon as he cried, they would all chant, and he would smile, glistening eyes. He would gaze upon them with such gratitude. So from his earliest infancy, he was inducing everyone around him to chant Krishna's names. Not out of force, out of love. He was attracting their hearts. He was opening their hearts by his sweetness. And to please him, they chanted the names of Krishna. Later, as he grew, when he established the Harinam Sankirtan movement, his infinite beauty was ever increasing. His love, his compassion was ever increasing. How could something that's infinite and endless and complete increase? This is achintya. This is the inconceivable nature of the Lord. He would go with his associates without discriminating what one's gender, what one's caste, what one's economic situation, varna or ashram. He was seeing everyone equally, was qualified to accept and attain love for Krishna. That liberation beyond all pain, beyond all death, beyond even liberation. He did not consider qualifications or disqualifications. He just considered the sincerity of a person's heart to receive it and to follow honestly, sincerely. If he just saw that earnestness, he gave that prema bhakti to his devotees. They would go to the shops, they would go to the houses. And Lord Chaitanya had this simple message. Jeev jago, jeev jago, Gaura Chandra bole, Kota nidra jaya maya, Pisa chira kole. Louder, please.
Jeev jago, jeev jago, Gaura Chandra bole, Kota nidra jaya maya, Pisa chira kole.
Wake up, sleeping souls. This is the message of Lord Gauranga. And he gave us the method by which we could wake up our sleeping souls. To hear about Krishna. To worship Krishna. To associate with the devotees of Krishna. And to chant the names of Krishna.
Hare Krishna!
Was supposed to end at 9:15, and considering the morning class, I'm kind of on time. Gaur Purnima is specially empowered with the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Just like Krishna is non-different than his name, Krishna is non-different than the descriptions of himself in the Srimad Bhagavatam, his teachings of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna bestows special mercy through the form of the Archamurti, the deity in the temple. So these particular holy days, the particular personality, the avatar of the Lord, is specially present like a deity in the day. And how we worship the Lord, how we behave in that day, the Lord is willing to give very, very special blessings. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the most munificent of all avatars, makes himself especially accessible on this day of Gaur Purnima. Showers his mercy especially freely on this day for all of us. So let us be grateful. Srila Prabhupada, on behalf of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has created so many devotional communities. Radha Ras Bihari Temple, Radha Gididhari Temple, Radha Madan Mohan Temple, Radha Vrindavan Bihari Temple, Radha Gopinath Temple, all in this little area of Mumbai. And then there's Radha Kunja Bihari Temple and Radha Vrindavan Chandra Temple and Radha Damodar Temple, all in the little area of Pune. And in between is Radha Govinda Temple and Nigri. And not far from that is Radha Madan Mohan Temple and Nasik. Gopal, Radha Madan Gopal, yes. How many temples in Delhi? 14 full elaborate temples in Delhi. And in Vrindavan and in Mayapur and Hyderabad, and there's about 500 temples in the world. I heard a tape of Srila Prabhupada in Mumbai, and he was talking to business people. And he, this is in the early 1970s. He said, you are trying to make money. This is what your standard of success is. He said, just depend on Krishna. Just surrender to Krishna. He said, I left India with 40 rupees, and I was all alone. And now I have thousands of people who are working full-time for me. And we're spending no less than 50 lakhs of rupees every day. Something like that. I don't remember the number. But the business people were convinced. That this is very good. But Srila Prabhupada, he wasn't trying to make money. That was the farthest thing from his purpose. Wherever he would go, he said, I have not come to take anything from anyone. I've only come to give. He gave that example because that's what certain people needed to hear, just to get them to take the philosophy seriously. But he was only giving. And whatever funds were coming, he did not keep one penny for himself. Not even a penny, a paisa. Everything was for the well-being of society in the service of Krishna. Literally, whatever came, if there was nothing or if there was much, everything was for the society, because his only motivation was compassion. Because that's Lord Chaitanya's mission. And Srila Prabhupada took that mission as his life and soul. Lord Chaitanya's continuous theme was, Krishna is the real great treasure of your life. We all want treasures. But only a misdirected civilization thinks that material things are a treasure. The treasure of the heart is Krishna, the Supreme Beloved, the ultimate source of happiness. Srila Prabhupada put great emphasis on this day of Gaur Purnima as an opportunity to develop a deeper and deeper connection to Krishna. And Gaur Purnima is a day when devotees traditionally celebrate together. to share their love for Lord Chaitanya with each other. Because when we share our love for Lord Chaitanya with each other, we find that deeper and deeper ananda in Lord Chaitanya's sweet rasa of compassion, then naturally as a family we want to expand it to everyone. Let this be our prayer for Gaur Purnima. Thank you very much. Now we will have Gaur Arti. Did all of you break the fast? Could begin the Arti.